Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gumbo Yaya. Gumbo Yaya is brought to you each week by Sable Hunter and Buku Publishing. This week, I'd like to announce our freebie that we have this week. It's Finding Dandy, the Hell Yeah, from author Sable Hunter. So that's free today, tomorrow, and the next day, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Free on Amazon. Our new releases, we have Love Hurts, The Assumption Series, Book 5 from Isabella Bow, Remotely Unplugged from Andrea Perno, Angelia's Dreams of Yesterday, Linda Pickle, and Safe with Him from the Safe Series, Book 2 from Tina Bass. I'm happy to welcome my guests tonight. They are Christine from Books and Beyonds, Deb Keenan, and author Sable Hunter. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Well, thank you for having us.
This is
Sable,
exciting.
Are you with me?
People.
I'm with you.
Who do I have here?
Jennifer? Christine's on.
Christine.
And Deb.
And Deb. I have one more. Sable, is that you? Okay, I think somebody had accidentally called in. But anyway, they're off the line now. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining me. And as you all
Thanks
know, we're here
us.
To talk about Erin and Libby today.
My favorite book of all. The
great,
first one that
great.
Got me started with Sable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was my first too.
Yeah, that was my first Sable Hunter book also. Deb, what drew you to romance? To reading romance? Have you been reading romance for long? Is that the only genre that you're interested in, or are you open to other genres?
No, I love all genres. But romance has probably always spoken to me ever since I was a little girl. It's just my nature, I guess.
And do you remember your first romance book, Deb?
Yeah, it is called They Love to Laugh. Couldn't tell you who the author was, but oh
uh-huh.
my God, I must have read that book 25, 30 times.
Oh my gosh.
Don't you love those books?
That's
like
wonderful.
That?
I
mean, you can always
want to read that now.
it's a yeah book. I mean, I started reading it when I was, head woman, 10 years old. I found it in the library because we were forced. Get a book out of the library and write a composition on it. So
right.
I was like, all right. So I went through it and I found this one, and yeah, I was totally sold. I must have read that book that many times.
You'll have to give
How
me that
you,
book name later. I wanted to read it.
How about you, Christine? How long have you been reading romance?
I actually started a little later in life. I just found it to be a wonderful escape. I was always gravitated towards romance. I think my first really true connection was with Sandra Brown. And then I started collecting paperback books. I think I have every single one she's ever written. And she's up to, 70 books now.
Oh, yeah.
And, she's huge. And and then everything changed once I got a Kindle, because I would spend so much money on books, and I would get in trouble at the end of the month with the book bill of my MasterCard. So I would go to bookstores and buy used books, and I would go to Goodwill and buy books for a quarter, because I could read hundreds of books a year, and it adds up. But romance will always be my number one, but I'm open. I love Dan Brown. I love a lot of other genres, but romance will always be my true passion.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many free books now, too. Have you ladies noticed that? I mean, they're everywhere.
Absolutely.
It's like one click and everything.
I do. I must have probably 25 free books on my carousel on my Kindle. So I know that still need to. And you find great authors that way. It's a great marketing strategy, by the way.
Yes.
It's a great marketing strategy to get your name out there as an author.
I agree. Making that first book free turns out to be a good move.
It is. I think it's one of the best moves to introduce an author and then kind of commit them to a storyline.
Uh-huh, that's true. Deb, can you tell us what draws you to Aaron McCoy? He seems to be one of the most, if not the most, popular McCoy in the bunch. The ladies just love him. We all love him. Deb, what draws you to Aaron McCoy?
His sensitivity. He's got depth, you know. It's just like you want that kind of a man.
He's not real.
Oh, come on! Tell me he's real, please.
I believe he's real. He's out there.
Christine, do you want to elaborate on that?
I love the alpha male. I love how strong he is, and I love the fact that he's so. I do like the way he's very possessive, and you feel safe with him. He takes care of Libby, and I love a strong cowboy, you know, but I do love a cowboy. So I just thought that was one of the strongest characters in the entire series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you have a favorite scene?
On that particular book, I love – now, if I get this wrong, please fix it. When he slaps down on the table, dibs.
Oh, yeah.
When he, he calls Libby, she's mine. That just tickled me because I just thought the originality was – it's just witty and funny and human, and it just tickled me that between all these brothers, he had to claim her right away. Loved it.
Right. Yeah. Very good scene. Very popular scene, too. Everybody loves the tag. And that's the thing you mentioned, the humor in Sable's books. I love that she always includes humor. You're always going to laugh. You're going to cry. And you're going to learn something in her books. I love the way she brings history into her books. Mm-hmm. So she lets you know. She does the research on the backgrounds. I mean, you're going to walk away and know something you didn't know before.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely felt the same way that, she's got this brilliant style of writing. It's thought-provoking and, just so incredibly emotional versus in other scenes you can be tickled. I mean, there's nothing more embarrassing than laughing at a book and your husband looks at you like you're crazy. But I do it all the time. That's normal for me.
Yeah. Or you're sitting on your couch crying while you're reading and someone's like, what are you doing? It's a book.
That's right. Yes, I have. But I have done that.
Yeah, some authors just have that gift where they can really make you feel, every bit of what you're reading,
Yeah.
It's a real
gift. Yeah, you get lost.
Yeah. Deb, do you have a favorite part in the book? Can you narrow it down?
Oh, yeah. Where she's bathing in the water.
Okay, that's my second.
That was just too rich. I was
yeah. That
was,
I agree, was fantastic.
And at her.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you both, what to you, and we'll start with you, Deb, what do you find to be the best ingredients for a book that's going to draw you?
Like you said, history, character depth. They got to have, they're not just a one-dimensional person. So if the characters are well-rounded, and it shows in the book because you're getting them from history, the reason for their actions, that really speaks a lot to me.
Right. And do you have a favorite McCoy other than Aaron? Deb? It's hard, right?
Yes. Now, come on. It's you're asking me to pick one of my favorite kids. No, I would have to... I can't. There's no way.
Yeah, yeah. No. They're all so good. Christine?
I would say the most important ingredient for me is dialogue, because I really think it can make or break a book. And I have certainly read a lot of books that did not have this special talent of making it real, witty, emotional, all the things that are important and that captures in a book. But strong dialogue will always be my favorite. Witty dialogue, smart dialogue, that is my number one. That's the thing I look for, number one. And Sable had it from day one. Day one, she nailed it. And I actually do have a second favorite, the badass Isaac. Because I love the bad boy. It's like cowboy, motorcycle rider, and so on, all mixed together. So, I did connect with
him. Oh, yeah, Isaac's definitely my favorite. Very well loved.
Mm-hmm. For many reasons.
Can I pick one? I'll hurt their feelings. Nope.
See, I think of them all as my boyfriends. I'll just get around to each one of them at some point.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Libby. Christine, what about Libby do you appreciate?
I love the strength that she came in as a character that was going through an illness. And she was this just innocent, trusting woman, yet smart, strong, mm-hmm. everything that you would want. And
right.
when she was exposed to this, you know, wonderful man who wanted nothing but love her, you just sucked me in. I mean, it was just incredible. But I loved Libby.
Oh, yeah.
And then I didn't even remember her illness. I mean, it just gets absorbed in the story.
It's not
something that ever it never overplays the actual storyline.
Right, exactly. How about you, Deb?
Definitely her strength. I cried a lot during this book, mainly because my cousin is dying from cancer. So, I mean, I could relate with that. But her strength just spoke to me because, you know, she accepted it. She was going to move on with her life. She was going to enjoy every minute and do whatever it was possible to do that. And then to have the man that she loved for a long time off her back was just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And what are your opinions on the way that Sable creates her females in her books? You know, they're not perfect. They're not the perfect, gorgeous, tiny, you know, just everything that Cosmopolitan might tell you that a woman should be, you know, how she should look or whatever. Mm-hmm. Every one of her women, you know, they're us. They're us. And what is your opinion on that?
Yes. And that's exactly it. Right there. And she draws them with flaws, with crazy ideas. So, I mean, she does a real great job. I mean, she's absolutely my number one favorite.
Yeah. Christine, you want to chime in?
I think the flaws are mentioned to let the fan know that, yes, she's just like one of us. But then what happens is the storyline kind of flips and the leading male finds her to be absolutely perfect in his eyes. And then you see her in almost a different light. You see her as being, you know, a real woman and curvy and everything. And it kind of changes into the perfect woman because you see it through his eyes. So I've never seen actually, you know, someone with a flaw. I never really noticed any flaws in her and any of the female characters. And even the ones that are, you know, some are very challenged. It's a gift how she can turn the fan around to not see the flaw. So, Yeah, I think I like that approach.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just like you said, once you were into reading Cowboy Heat, you didn't think about Libby's illness. You didn't see it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the focus of the story anymore. It was just that love between her and Aaron.
Exactly.
I agree. Christine, where would you like to see Sable go that she hasn't gone before in her writing? Any characters you would like to see her touch upon, or maybe issues?
I think that I would be open to anything that Sable wrote. In fact, when I first contacted Sable, I begged her for more books. And I think she actually even sent me one that was not published at the time. And I was just a fan. So I, you know, loved her writing so much. I know she's got the a little bit more innocent version, which I think is a very smart plan, because not everyone gravitates to the genre that her original books are in. And she was quite open to feedback. I will always love the first genre a little bit better, but I would be totally open for her to step out of the cowboy love genre maybe and go with, you know, someone quite different. I think she's capable of great range. So anywhere she goes, I'll follow.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you, Deb?
Yeah, absolutely. I think she would do great in any other genre, because she just has that way of writing the story that speaks to you. She could do paranormal, mystery, anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm always telling her she needs to do something comedic. You know, just, I swear, I love, she can make me laugh all the time. I mean, she's always got a funny story. I love it when she incorporates you know, that funniness, that humor into her books. I mean, she's just got a lot of funny stuff to say. I find her very funny. And, you know, a lot of what she writes is true-to-life things. You know, she may take something from her life or someone at church or whatever it might be and include that in that book, and I just really enjoy it. So I agree. I think she could write in any genre.
I agree, too. Know? I think her fans would follow her no matter what she did.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I think so. Sable, are you with
yes.
us?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to the show.
You're making me blush over here.
I'm giddy. I'm so giddy. Hi, Sable. Christine,
I'm
how
so
are
glad
you?
To be with you. Oh, I'm doing really well this morning. I sure am. I haven't been up too long. I stayed up late last night writing, and I got up and had some coffee so I would be able to be coherent and speak to y'all
this
morning.
Yeah, me too. And then I've just been sitting here watching the minutes countdown ready. Yes, I was so excited since last night. I think I told every living soul what I was going to do today. So,
well, Christine, all of y'all are my favorites. I just love y'all so much. I've known y'all a long time, and
I know.
It's just a privilege and an honor to be able to hear your voice and to talk to you one-on-one like this, and I think it's great, and I appreciate Debbie for putting us together.
Believe me, it's an honor to be here. And I'll say it again, it was an honor for the very first time I ever contacted you. I mean, I will say it again, I could not believe that you responded back. I thought, oh, she's a movie star, you know, she's that status, and she's talking to me. I was so blown away by that, and that was years ago, Sable, years.
It was a long time ago, and I was probably sitting on my front porch rocking in the rocking chair with a cat and a margarita barefoot.
Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. Well, you know, I live in a log cabin in the woods on 5 acres. So I was probably on my front porch sitting there watching, you know, squirrels go by or something, reading my book, reading your book.
Very much in common.
Yes.
And I think that makes a huge difference. Like you said, Christine, when an author acknowledges you, you know, because they are so busy and they can't get to everybody. They, you know, I think some of them have the best of intentions to do that, but they have so much going on. And when you find an author and she takes the time out of her day and she tries to acknowledge your, you know, your Facebook post or your emails or your reviews or whatever it may be. And Sable does, I've known her a long time, and she does try her best to do that. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Deb?
I agree.
Absolutely, and it just amazes me when she does because she's so busy. Seriously, you're taking that time? Really?
Yeah.
It does surprise me, but I'm also glad to see that because it does say I'm a real person. I'm not some kind of robot that's just going to churn out this book and that book. It says a lot. It says a lot about her character.
Well, an author, and it's like what we need to remember is that we're a half of a whole, and without readers who can relate and appreciate and fall in love with what we produce, then we haven't accomplished anything. So I want to reach out to my readers because I get up in the morning and I start saying, okay, you know, I'm going to write something, and I hope to heaven that someone wants to read it. So, you know, I have to reach out because I'm working with you. I'm writing for you. And it's something to me to be able to connect with someone else who's read something. Like, I hear you talking about Erin, and it just thrills my heart because, you know, Erin is and Libby, they're part of me. And for us to connect over that is like being able to sit down and have coffee in front of the fireplace and chit-chat. It's a connection, and it's a connection I value immensely.
Absolutely.
Here's
I totally
the question
agree.
I have, Sable. When you began to write Erin McCoy, did you ever for a second think that you would have so many books related to Erin McCoy where his family and his friends would become so huge? I mean, what do you think now when you just think about that day you sat down and started on Erin?
I could not have foreseen it in a million years. I sat down to write a lighthearted book that was about Erin and his family. I had no intention at that particular moment of continuing it. If I had, I would have picked better names. I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I sat down there, and if you look at the brothers' names, that I just pulled them straight out of my Sunday school lesson. I went down the patriarchs, you know, Erin, Jacob, Joseph, Isaac. I would never have had a Noah. I mean, you know, that's the guy who has animals two by two walking on his boat. Nathan, I would have picked sexier names, but when I started creating them, then they grew to be real to me. I knew them. I could see them. I loved how they interacted. But, you know, the response to Erin and then to Jacob is what fueled the rest of them. And, you know, I still to this day get letters saying, oh, when are you going to write this book or when are you going to write that book? I want this one next. And I've created a lot of characters, friends and family and cousins, and the world has just expanded as I've been able to immerse myself into the Tebow McCoy universe, as my brother calls it. And, you know, I'm constantly surprised myself at the life that these people take on and the emotional connection that fans or readers have to them. And that's just a blessing. It's an absolute wonder to me that these people and these characters have become real to so many.
Yeah. And, you know, Sable, I don't know if you understand or realize the power that you have. When Erin went missing, not to give anything away, but there is a book that he goes missing, I cannot tell you how many conversations that you were never aware of about that storyline. And it's like we would call him, Erin, where's Erin? We'd do that in private messages and chat groups, and we couldn't stand it that we did not know, and we were throwing out ideas of what we thought, you know, what had happened. So it was a very powerful thing that you created. And through it all, you've stayed so humble. So I have to give you kudos for that.
Yeah,
thank you. The storyline of Erin going missing is a funny family story, actually. You know, it was something that was not my idea. It was Jess's idea, And I first resisted, and then he said, no, think about it. He says, what would happen if Aaron went missing on his honeymoon? And then it just sort of grew, and we'd sit around and we'd talk about it, and I said, okay, I'll do it. And he says, but now, he says, you need to, since my books overlap so much, and there's not a whole lot of time that goes by from one to another, it's almost like when these McCoys started finding women, all happened at one time. But, you know, I've tried to make it something that when you read it, you could experience how afraid this family was, how scared they were, how Libby was devastated. And this would be real. This is how we would feel if this happened to us. And I tried to make it something where people would care what happened to Aaron. By the time we got him home, we were all glad to have him back.
Yeah.
So.
It was an uproar. We were in an uproar.
Yeah, I think a lot of readers, they really took it personally. Aaron was missing. You know, a lot of people were really, really worried to death. You know, oh my gosh, is Sable going to kill him off? I mean, there was a lot of concern too. I told Sable I used to compare it to the Who Shot J.R. You know, I felt like it was that popular.
That's exactly how I felt too. It was a very powerful move on your part.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you didn't give it up right away, too. You didn't solve the problem right away, either. You made us wait. which was fun, but, yeah, it's a little bit torturous.
Well,
yeah,
one reason I did that...
Come through, go ahead, Sable.
I said one reason I did that was because I made a pretty complicated story out of it. And I have to sit down with, you know, just a chart and trying to get every string tied correctly and every loose end brought back together and for it to make sense, you know, and to be realistic. We're going through that same thing right now with a book that Ryan and I are doing called One Man's Treasure, and it's a complicated story and has several different levels in it. So I have to work those things out, and sometimes I'll go so far I go, oh, no, I got to go back. I've got something's not right. So it was something that wrote itself in a day or two. It was something that I had to actually spend, you know, hours and hours and hours trying to make sure that what I was, the research, and I got down, you know, the cartels, I wanted to know how they worked and what the, how the, they did things and what kind of money they generated and what the dangers were. But I have a blast doing that. It's fun to learn new things and to be able to try to impart those details in such a way that I don't bore the crap out of you, but it was a challenging story to me, but I think one that was that turned out fairly well.
Yeah, very successful. I was just curious, Sable. Do you just write or do you storyboard your plots? I was just curious if this just magically happens. It's just magic on paper, or do you really do plan all of your stories out in detail?
I come up with an idea or a problem, and I'll know where I want it to go, but then, and I have a tendency sometimes just to start writing and then realize, okay, I got to back up and put this down on paper. I don't have technical and complicated storyboards. I just have one list after another, and I'll sit down with a piece of paper and I'll start charting it out or drawing an outline or making sure, and I may have five or six of those lists that I'll have to spread out. So probably would do better to have a storyboard, but I'm not that organized. So it's a combination of you know, just sitting down and writing and then backing up and saying, okay, you know, I've got to make sure, you know, write all this stuff down that I have. You know, at one point I remember I had somebody that was fixing to have a baby, and they hadn't been pregnant the whole time, you know, enough time. So I have to make sure that I have chronologically it makes sense. So.
Right.
But it's not, I wouldn't call it magic. It's a lot of work involved.
Oh, absolutely.
Feels like magic on my end, so, you know.
Well, magic.
Yes,
eventual magic.
Deb, do you have any questions for Sable that you would like to ask her about Cowboy Heat or the Hell Yeah series?
Not that I can think of. I'm just, you know, I can't wait to get my hands on the rest of these. It's just I'd gotten to a point and I couldn't afford to get the rest of the book. So it's just taking me time. once I get through them. No spoilers about Aaron being missing because I still haven't gotten there.
Oh, okay. Thank you for letting me know. I'm pretty caught up. So.
I do want to mention that, again, but... about Sable's Finding Dandy, Hell Yeah, is free today, tomorrow, and the 25th. And I'm bringing that up because I was speaking to Christine last night, and she shared some information with me about Finding Dandy, and I was just fascinated by it. She really wowed me. And so I had asked her to share this with Sable today. I think it's pretty neat stuff. So, Christine?
Well, it was late one night. I was reading the book Finding Dandy, and which kind of involves like this character who's forced into a situation that she's not quite proud of, and the world sees her in a certain way. And Sable put a twist on that this woman actually was quite smart, and she had real life goals, and she wanted to be an archaeologist. So of course it's like 2:00 in the morning, and I'm reading this book, and it starts to talk about her dream of going to the Cahokia Mounds, where a lot of like Indian burials had been, and so forth. And I started reading more about that, and I had just this moment of, I don't even know what you would call it, shock. And it just so happened that my family owned 800 acres of that property. And I had in my hand, I have it right now, I have a 1930 newspaper where my grandfather was an archaeologist, and he's on the cover of the St. Louis Globe Democrat newspaper. And he had found over 50 burial sites in that same area. And I could not believe Sable from Texas was talking about my family's heritage property in Illinois. And
wow.
I just couldn't believe it. But I literally got up at 2:00 in the morning with private messaging Sable, telling her about this. So, Sable, I don't know if you recall. I don't mind if
I do remember
you don't.
It. Yes, I do.
Couldn't believe it.
That was a very deep storyline for me. I mean, I really got involved with it. That's one thing. When I write, I don't want to write just a shallow story where you just this boy meets girl and it's instant attraction and sex. I like to bring in, because every one of us, I mean, in real life, we're multi-layered, and we have interests, and we have connections, and we have things that drive us and that make us who we are. So I try to build my characters so people can relate to them. And when I have interests in my own life, and this is one of them, I love the idea of walking on ground that people have been walking on for 10 million years or 10,000 years and have buried their ancestors, and it was sacred to them, like these Indian burial mounds are. And the idea that in you know, like your grandfather and that property, you know, it's real, and those people actually existed. And to weave Dandy into that, and to give her that facet in her personality, that she wasn't just a stripper that she had been forced to do. She had dreams, and she had hopes, and she had goals. And to put that together, to me, was, I mean, I learned stuff, and I got emotionally involved with it, and I traveled and looked at it, and I picked up those things and handled them in my hand and imagined how she felt about it. And that's one of the things I love to write about. I love to bring things into people's minds and hearts that they might not be able to have any connection with any other way. So I appreciate that so much. It made Finding Dandy just that much, mean that much more to me, to know that I had reached out to you and you had a connection with it.
Yeah, it was amazing, and it really did prove to me the kind of research that you do, because it was so accurate. I mean, I knew the story, so it wasn't like you could skim through it, and I knew what the past was with the story. I grew up knowing about it. I grew up holding the artifacts. I grew up being completely involved in it. So to have you touch on that and research it and do such a thorough job and be accurate was really, I was proud. I was proud of that. I was proud of you. It just amazed me. And the coincidence just blew my mind. Just, I couldn't believe it.
Well, thank you. I think finding Dandy.
Go ahead.
Well,
I also want to touch on your latest release, the anthology that you have released, Windswept. Can you tell us a little bit about your part in that?
I wrote a story about a bed and breakfast, an old Victorian mansion on the west end of Galveston. And the other people that were in the anthology were all couples. They wrote about couples staying in the bed and breakfast. And I made it so that she was about to lose it. Her rest of her family wanted her to sell it to a developing company, and it was going to be torn down. And it was something that had stood through the 1900 hurricane, that presidents had stayed in. It had a lot of history of the island. It was more value than just wood and mortar and brick. And so she's fighting this battle of not only a sister who thinks that she's God's gift to women, and the my heroine, whose name was Madeline, is lacking in that area. So she actually has found a boyfriend. She thinks she's hired him as an escort, but he's actually the architect. Anyway, it's a coincidence thing, but I've worked in a lot of history, like I love to do, about Lafitte's treasure, the hurricanes, tried to give it a little bit more of a foundation, and I think it turned out pretty good. It had a little humor in it, and it had a little tears in it, like I like to incorporate, and I was proud of the short story, although I will admit to you, I have a hard time writing short stories, and I'm saying 30,000 words is a short story. We're at 70,000 words on One Man's Treasure right now, and we're not half through, but it's going to be a good book. I think we're going to be proud of it. That's the next in the Hell Yeah series.
Oh, yeah, we're all looking forward
to it. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Sable, I want to touch a little bit, too, on Her Magic Touch. That's your first in your Hell Yeah series where you brought a little magic in. What made you decide to bring that magic in?
I have magic in my own life. I have a lot of people from Louisiana in my life, and I have even some in Texas. My great-grandmother was a midwife who actually took warts off people or was able to read tea leaves and things like that. Ghost stories in my family are told as something that, I saw, great-grandfather the other day. So what I'm trying to say is the supernatural is entirely natural in my world. So I didn't find it too far-fetched to bring that into the McCoy world, that Joseph had a devastating accident and that he had a guardian angel, which I believe we all do, only his guardian angel actually came into his life and helped him, and he fell in love with her. So I just think that a lot of, if you really get to talking to people, they'll all have something in their life that says, I don't understand how this happened. I really don't have an explanation for it, but this is the way it is. Miracles still happen in our lives, and sometimes we write them off as just coincidence or as luck or as something we don't understand. But I love to be able to bring a little bit of the unknown, a little bit of mystery into my writing. A lot of my books have a little incidences of just magic, and I think that that just makes our lives richer to know that there are things in this world that we don't necessarily understand, but there's somebody looking out for us.
Right.
I love that aspect, by the way. I thought it was a perfect balance between reality and the unknown, so I embraced it.
Well, good. That was a controversial book, and not so much because of the magic, but because of the devastation that Joseph went through and how he reacted to it, how he lashed out at people. But that happens, too. I've seen that happen, that people sometimes it's like the, people lash out at the people they love the most because they're there, and I think that's fairly realistic that would happen.
Yeah, that's true. Sable, we were talking earlier about how you create your female characters to not be so perfect and, how other people might view them or feel like they need to be perfect. We feel like they're real women. Why is that important to you to create your female characters like that instead of going with the absolute perfection inside and out?
I've read romances all of my life, and I've never been able to relate to a perfect character because I am so far from perfect, it's just laughable. So what I wanted to create was characters that real women could relate to, because we all have, other people may look at us and say, you know, that woman has it together, that woman is just about perfect, but we never feel that way. There's always something in our life that we wish was different, that we wish was better, we wish our boobs were bigger, we wish our butt was smaller, we wish that we had a different personality, we wish that we were more confident, we wish that we were able to do things that other women do. We all find ourselves that we have challenges. So I wanted to create characters that had challenges, but yet the most important thing, and you touched on that, I remember I heard you a while ago, the most important thing is when the man, that alpha, perfect male, he's flawed too, but we don't see that, when he looks at her, he doesn't see those flaws. He sees her as his absolute ideal, and that's what we're hungry for. We know we're flawed, but we want somebody to love us just the way we are. So that's mm-hmm. important to me. That's what I've always hung on to and thought was just the most wonderful thing in the whole world, is to be loved just the way you are. So that's what I wanted to write. I wanted to be able for women to read it, to step into the shoes of that female character and feel what she felt, because that's one of the best feelings in the world, is acceptance, acknowledgement, adoration from someone who looks at us and says, you know, there's no one in the world I'd rather be with, no other place in the world I'd rather be than in your arms. And I got chill bumps just thinking about it.
And thank you for that. I thank you so much.
You excel at that. Deb and Christine, is there anything that you would like to ask or say to Sable before we close out?
I just have to, I guess, thank you, Sable, for staying so humble and just being a real person, even though I know your success has skyrocketed. It means a lot to a fan to know that you've stayed true to yourself, and I even think it shows in your writing, and I respect you as a person and as a superstar, so I love you.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for being you, Sable. I couldn't possibly put anybody above you as far as my favorite author, because you just never cease to amaze me with all your books. And I really, really would like to see you branch out. I love my cowboys, but still, I think you could do really, really good in another genre as well.
Well, I'm trying to branch out a little bit. I want to still incorporate a love story. I think that everything that we do in life, love is still a part of it. So there's no telling what I might do in the future, but I think you'll always be able to read it and recognize that Sable's in there somewhere. So.
Cool.
Sable, if someone told you that you could not write in the romance genre, but you could write any other genre, what genre do you think you would try next?
I would go with the mystery. I in Love's Magic Spell, I don't know if any of you have read it, I treated it a little bit differently. I actually had a murder mystery ongoing that the reader didn't know the answer to until the end. And usually the reader is in the God position, where they know what's going on at all times. And I enjoyed leaving clues and building suspense in that particular story. So I probably would do something more in the suspense thriller line, and I would probably let it be a lot of his history or supernatural, because I love to do the research and I love to be able to reveal things like Jewish. I've got a book about half written. It's called The Nephilim, and then I've got another one that's almost a takeoff on Joe Black, where death actually walks among us, and that type of thing I would probably go toward. But I would miss the romance. I'll be honest with you. I would miss it a great deal. So
uh-huh.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I hope not either.
And most genres have some amount of romance in them anyway. So, yeah you could work it.
Yeah.
I hope
so.
Well, I would follow you. I would follow any genre. I would still follow you.
Well, that would
absolutely
be great.
Is there anything else you'd like to share, Sable?
I just wanted to thank you, too, and just to know that we have a connection and that we have a bond, and we have times that we may not be sitting in the same room, but that doesn't mean that we're not together. Any time that you pick up my words and read, you could know that my heart was right there. And I put more into my books than just black and white words. There's emotion, and there's love, and there's a hope that we all can make our dreams come true. And so you can always know that when you're reading me, that it's almost like we're holding hands. So,
I feel that. I feel that as a fan. I feel that connection to you when I read your work. So I thank you for that.
That's awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Before I close out, I'd like to say that you can find Buku Publishing at BukuLLCPublishing.com, on Facebook at Facebook.com/BukuLLC. Gumbo Yaya can be found at Facebook.com/GumboYayaRadio. And Sable, I'll just push your link real quick. You can find Sable on Facebook.com. Her website is SableHunter.com. At Hunter Sable is her Twitter, and Facebook.com is, you can find her fan page.
Yay.
Did I leave anything out, Sable?
That's it.
Okay, and please remember, Finding Dandy is free the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th of February. I would like to thank you all for coming in and chatting with me this week. Sable, I appreciate you coming in and chatting with me and the ladies. I know you're very busy. And everybody have a great night.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's been fun.
Thanks, Sable.
Okay. You have a great day, all right?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.